afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to our own little program that we call Matinee with Bob and Ray. It's a real pleasure to be broadcasting again from our summer home here in Friendly Valley. I'm very pleased to be back with you all in real life today.
That's all?
Yesterday I greeted you, of course, from a desk, and I certainly missed chatting.
Did you listen to the program yesterday? It sounded vaguely familiar to me. It sounded just like you two fellows were talking the same thing what you did Saturday.
Probably was.
Several people have called me to ask if that was true.
I believe it was Steve O'Neill after yesterday's game who summed it all up nicely when he said...
Well, we got next year to think about, you know.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, that's one game.
Okay, we come all the way down to New York and beat the State of Nice.
One game isn't the whole season, and we've got a long time to go.
Yes, father's much.
But here to tell us more about the baseball picture by special telephonic communication is Steve O'Neill, Steve Bosco, who is the man that we sent to South. You may remember. So, hello, Steve.
It's Steve Bosco reporting.
You called us this morning and had rather an unusual conversation. You said something about returning here to Boston.
It's my plan now, Bob and Ray, to...
Speak a little bit clearer. I can't hear any part of what you're saying.
It's my plan now, Bob and Ray.
That's too clear.
So, broadcast the marathon for you tomorrow.
You're coming up here. You're going to forget baseball tomorrow only. Is that it?
Well, I'm going to get on my sneakers and get out there and pound the pavements again.
Going to run right along with them, are you?
Well, I used to run along, but the doctor told me not to. I used to pound my feet so hard that I turned my brain into jelly there one year. I'm giving up marathoning.
I see, but you will be equipped to take care of the entire race from start to finish. Is that right?
Yes.
What time will you be airing this graphic description?
Probably by the time you hit the airwaves with your splendid program.
Thank you.
I've heard so many nice comments about
it.
I've never heard the thing.
Yeah.
But the talk about it is wonderful.
Well, you're, of course, an integral part of the thing.
Yeah? Yeah.
You're an integral part of it. And I suppose a lot of the people down in Washington are talking about it, too, aren't they?
What?
I say a lot of people in Washington must be talking about the program.
I haven't been in
Washington. What station carries us down there?
WSMF and WSMF-FM.
Oh, yeah. And on TV, they have a station
there? Yes, WTV-TV.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll look for you tomorrow, then. You going to stop in at the station before you go out to Hopkinton?
What's that again?
Are you going to stop in at the station before you go out to Hopkinton?
That's
where they start racing, isn't it?
Oh, is that so?
Sure. Have you looked into this fleet picture?
No, I haven't.
You know what's ahead of you, don't you? You've got to run 26 miles.
Hello.
Did you hear me?
I thought we were cut off there for a minute.
Oh, I said you've got to run 26 miles.
No, I don't believe it'll be up to me to run. I'll follow along with the race.
Maybe I can
report adequately just what transpired.
Maybe I can borrow Fred.
But I want to get right out there now and cover the Red Sox-Yankees game right out here in good old Columbus.
Hello?
Yes.
What'd you say?
I said I want to hurry out now and catch the Red Sox-Yankees game held here in Columbus.
All right. Have a report on that tomorrow.
It's Steve Bosco rounding first, being thrown out at second.
Well, we have something to look forward to tomorrow, then, with a description of that race. Remember, 4 years ago, we had a memorable broadcast.
A near historic event, Bob.
That's right. And we're all looking forward to tomorrow with great expectations. But now, I think we should turn to Ken and Bill, don't you?
Or, as they better know, Arturo Toscanini and his group.
And they are going to play one of the songs most requested. Oh, how can I say that?
No, really, it is. It's...
This is one of the things, a pagan love song, isn't it?
Oh, The House of Singing Bamboo.
One, two, three, four,
what
five.
What in the world are you counting, Joan?
I'm counting the handkerchiefs we've received with Kirkman granulated soap. I'm sure glad you started using Kirkman granulated.
Believe me, so am I. It's the grandest soap I've ever used.
Yes, and every time you buy a box, I get the hanky that comes inside.
Just a minute, young lady. We'll share those hankies. They'll be enough for both of us. I like Kirkman granulated so well, I use it for everything from the family wash to a sink full of dishes.
Yes, Joan's mother sure is smart. For modern Kirkman granulated is made to do all your soap and water jobs. Kirkman granulated suds booster action lifts out every trace of dirt and grime, makes washing easier. Kirkman granulated leaves wash dazzling white, colors bright. Kirkman granulated makes dishes sparkle, glassware gleam. Get Kirkman granulated at your grocer's today, and you'll receive a pretty hanky right inside the box. You can't buy a better soap. You can find a bigger bargain.
Mary, what's that?
I heard somewhere about you going to run in this race tomorrow.
Oh, no.
The marathon?
Oh, heavens to Betsy, no.
You never have you?
Well, once I thought of doing it, but when I realized it was so far, I just gave up.
You'll stick to the water. Huh?
That's right.
Stick to that swim out the Boston Light. It won't be long now before you'll be getting into training for this summer's
event. Well, of course, I'm in training all year round, Bob.
I know you're right that you're fighting weight now.
I always try to keep myself physically fit.
And can we look for anything unusual in this year's swim out there?
What?
Can we look for anything unusual in the
swim? I suppose. Last year I came across some unusual things floating there as I went along.
Those grapefruit halves and things
just,
like that.
It's a bad morale factor, swimming through halves of grapefruit and wax paper with jelly on it.
I know it. And it must slow you down a little bit,
too. It does. It's a mental hazard.
But this year we certainly hope that you won't tire halfway out.
You're afraid to breathe in too deeply.
No,
you
can't
inhale.
You're
going to catch.
That's right.
Minnows or something.
Well, we have made elaborate preparations for this year's coverage of that event.
Oh, I see, yes.
We're having complete sports coverage this year.
Well, that's fine. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. So you let us know the minute you go into training.
Yes.
Will you?
Yes. Well, I am in training now.
What are you doing about it?
Lifting barbells.
Lifting barbells, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How much,
and I'm swimming at the YW with weights on my feet.
That must be rather difficult.
Well, I'm just trying to make it hard for myself.
Uh-huh.
And if I can swim with weights on my feet, I don't see why I couldn't swim out to Boston Light and back in jig time.
No, I don't see why you can.
Yes,
well, don't do that too often. You're growing gills.
Yes.
But
funny boy.
To get on to
screaming
more serious
funny,
things
honestly,
here.
Very funny, honestly.
We have our problem expert ready with today's case. So, Ray, if you will...
Yes.
Will you, Mary,
you
sit down?
Yes. Will you play our problem music, please?
That is a problem in itself, that theme.
Yes, it's time once again for U.S. Steel, makers of iron tablets, to present Mr. Agony and his unoriginal Bad Willow.
Just a minute, Ken. Look, I don't think Guy would be very happy to hear you doing that.
Beautiful. I plucked a rose from my garden. But now here is Mr. Agnew. That's much better.
Oh, Penny, goodness. All right, Mr. Sterling, our first problem. And let's try to be serious today, shall we?
Problem.
I'm in no mood for joviality.
Problem of Mr. Tosco Turanini.
Don't mention any proper names. I believe you made a mistake. It's Mr. Artino Toscatruro.
No, it's Mr. Trino Toscatuni.
You're wrong there. It's Mr. Artrosky Tornatiro. But anyway, sir, your problem, please. As I understand it, you have a lunch wagon, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you have come to me with some problem involving the lunch wagon.
That's right, I have.
Go on with your story, please.
Well, the first problem which I overcame was that the thing was delivered to me with square wheels.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't know it.
You had ordered this this lunch wagon.
That's right.
And it came bouncing up to your door, so to speak,
not
with square wheels.
Exactly, lumping up, kind of.
I see.
And I didn't notice until I had a cake in the oven, and boom.
And then you did notice that there were square wheels on this lunch wagon.
I filed down the edges.
Is that the problem? You did file down the edges?
They're perfectly round now. Just, well, like my head, so to speak.
All right, then, what seems to be your problem?
We've
got to hurry along
here. That dishes which is gathering up out there. I hate to do dishes, and business has been rapid fire.
Your business has been good.
That's right.
You have made more customers, new friends, regular patronage.
Yes, very definitely.
So to speak.
But I'm down to now about 2 clean plates.
Well, how has this come about? You say you've been in business for how many weeks now, sir?
4 weeks.
And how many dishes did you have to begin with?
Oh, a whole slew of them there.
Would you say possibly you had 200 or 300 dishes?
Easily, yes. And
all the time that you have been open,
yes,
you haven't been doing any dishes, is that right?
That's right. I hate to put my hand in that water, you know?
It's greasy and so forth.
That's right. It's squeamish. And
so you have let these dishes pile up?
Pile up there and just keep using the new ones. And
now you're down to only a bare minimum.
That's right.
And you have come to me to find out...
What should I do, sir?
Well, I can offer you 2 solutions. One... be that you hire someone to wash the dishes for you.
Well, I'm not doing that much business to wash.
You can't afford to have a dishwasher.
No. It's a case of my having to do it myself or get out of the business, and that's what I'm here. What should I do?
I would advise you, sir, if this be the case...
get out of the business?
That you do get out of the business, because obviously you're not fit.
I'm not fit.
Or very well equipped.
I'm not equipped mentally for the job either.
No, I think you're mentally a little bit backwards.
Slow. I turned to school.
Your personality doesn't seep through.
No, it's not. It's twin personality.
In other words, you're a jerk.
To sum up, that's
to
a nice
sum it up. Right. I would suggest that you try to find some other line of endeavor, possibly a Chinese hand laundry. Do you like to do laundry?
Well, I like to wash hands, yeah.
Well, then I would suggest you go into that business and try to build out of the lumber of your life a temple and not a tavern. Obviously,
I mean, not go into a
hand laundry. Let me finish, please, sir.
Yes.
Obviously, this restaurant business is not for you.
No.
So I would suggest you take my advice and start all over again.
Well, I'd go into that hand laundry business, but there aren't many hands that people send around to be laundry.
Well, if you'll see me after the program in my hand laundry, I'll try and help you out a little bit first.
You've been very kind to me, Hum.
All right, Snook. And we have a word from Raymond's here, do we? You ready, boys?
Store your first for 1%.
1%?
1%?
Store your first for 1%, my fair lady.
Where?
Raymond's.
Raymond's, nationally famous home of bargains, offers you New England's biggest fur storage value. At Raymond's, your furs are stored in exactly the same vaults used by other fine furriers, charging 2 and 3%. Yet Raymond's fur storage in the same vaults, the newest and most modern in Boston, costs just 1%. You can store your fur coat for as little as $2, safe from moths, fire, theft, and summer heat. From start to finish, only fur experts handle your coat, and full insurance protects it at all times. However, space is limited, so call Raymond's today.
But I want to wear my fur coat a few more weeks.
You can. Simply reserve the space now, store whenever you wish. Just phone Hubbard 2-8800 today.
Store your fur for 1%, my fair lady.
Phone Raymond's, Hubbard 2-8800.
I would just like to say that one of our many radio family members has just called and very warm-heartedly said that they would... the dirty dishes that are piled up on this restaurant owner. They will put you back in business again, sir. You are started on the way to success once more. I know you won't make the same mistakes again.
Thanks again, everybody along Radio Lane.
Our thanks, of course, to that wonderful member of our big radio family. It does our heart earn that. Now the Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by A. Carrington Love, starring Marcia Van Allshot as Linda, Sherman L. Sturdley as David. Uncle Eugene is portrayed by Horace K. Winterhoffer. Today, after the startling discovery that nothing was growing on the lampshade, Linda and David settled down to a cozy winter in River's Mouth.
Just a moment.
Wait a minute, I have last fall's
script. Yeah, wait.
The script is changed twice a year, and I have to get the wrong one.
It's Cozy Spring.
As they settle down to a cozy spring in River's Mouth, we hear the babbling of the brook. We hear Linda say,
"Who was that brook that stopped its silly babbling?"
"I have the campfire going, my dear."
"Wonderful.
Have you got the marshmallows to toast?"
"Mm-hmm. I love the smell of bacon out here in the forest.
It's wonderful to get away from Uncle Eugene for a while."
"Listen to that beautiful bird."
"Over there by the three trees. There.
And one there.
And one there. But now I see a hunter approaching."
"One there.
And another hunter."
"That's actually me. I'm playing a balloon."
"And who's that over there?" "Why, it's Uncle Eugene." "Well, folks, I'm not playing anything. Goodbye." "Huh?
Come over here, Uncle Eugene, and get close to the
fire. What's you having, a picnic?"
"Yes.
Where's the music coming from?"
"The birds are making all
the birds and the trees, Uncle Eugene."
"It's a regular symphony."
"It is. I'll have to tell Margaret Church about this."
"Oh, I think it's beautiful out here."
"We were commuting with nature, Uncle Eugene."
"No, it's communing, Dick."
"Oh, yes, I see that now. I didn't bring my spectacles today."
"Yes."
"Well, it's wonderful out here in,
yes,
in nature and everything."
"Yes."
"Huh?"
"Yes."
"That's a very attractive sunsuit you're wearing, too."
"It's caught at the neck with a tootsie roll."
"It's the latest thing, Uncle Eugene."
"Yes. Do you like it?"
"I think it's fine."
"It's made out of sailcloth."
"Do you mind if I partook of some of your sandwiches?"
"Hands off."
"I haven't had any lunch as yet."
"Hands off."
"Oh, now, Linda, we can't be so cruel as to deny Uncle Eugene a sandwich."
"But he has a whole cellar full of peanut butter sandwiches at home. He never brings any of his own."
"Well, I'll bring some of mine next time."
"Well, all right, help yourself."
"I want to be thoroughly aged." "They will be, Uncle Eugene. You've had them for several months now."
"Go ahead, help yourself."
"Thanks. I think I'll just reach it. Ooh."
"Oh, that's the bag with the oysters."
"Yeah, I don't want it to go." "I have a sandwich now, and it's my favorite flavor, peanut butter."
"I don't remember packing any peanut butter sandwiches. Did you, David?"
"No, that's the odd part of it. We didn't."
"It must have been one of the birds."
"It's delicious, though." "Really wonderful.
Oh,
I can't thank you enough for this invitation you have given me to join your picnic."
"Oh, I feel so gay.
But we'd better be off because the thunder shower may come up at any moment."
"Oh, yes, it's clambering up the nor'easter now.
Let's hurry back to the house where it'll be warm and cozy by the fireside."
"Let's run."
"And as we do..." "No, we don't have a radio."
"Come, let's run."
"We're all through with it."
Oh,
all right.
I meant to tell you, but...
"I wish you'd tell me when we come to the end of that, because it's pretty embarrassing for me to..."
"I wanted to go on there."
"Say, going into a commercial is, yeah, Miss Linda Lovely."
"Well, I was trying to think of a neat tie-in for Only the Valiant."
"Oh, another movie is in town?"
"Maybe I could help out somewhat on this thing. I don't know whether I could or not."
"Well, I tell you what, why don't we listen to the first part of it, and then you can add any comments that you might think necessary."
"I can do maybe what we call in radio the live tag."
"All right."
Warner Brothers presents Gregory Peck in Only the Valiant. Gregory Peck as Captain Lance, who gave Ford Invincible its name. Gregory Peck leading a handful of desert derelicts. A coward, a drunkard, a deserter, a madman, and a fool.
And he made heroes of them all.
It's one of the most stirring chapters in the annals of American adventure.
They were six, and they fought like 600.
Only the Valiant, starring Gregory Peck.
Also starring Barbara Payton and Ward Bond, with Gig Young and Lon Chaney.
A William Cagney production from Warner Brothers.
Say, want to really relax? Want to really get away from it all? Then see a picture like Only the Valiant.
Say, Gregory Peck.
No, on... Just a moment, Tex. If you're going to read the live tag...
You've got to read this on the microphone.
On mic, please.
Oh, I was over here in the corner. I thought they had the boom mic over there. Say, Gregory.
Peck. See Gregory Peck, starring in Warner Brothers' Only the Valiant, opening tomorrow at the Metropolitan.
I can't pronounce. Just say something.
Metropolitan at some theater in Boston. But well, that isn't very... They're not going to be too happy about that.
That sounds like an exciting thing from start to finish.
What did he say there was? Only six there, and they looked like 600?
That's right. There's only six. And Gregory Peck, of course, is more valiant than the others. And it's the movie that you wanted...
To be. You know, he's getting more pay for this picture, too.
So go on down and enjoy yourself if you really want to get away from it all.
That opens tomorrow at the Metropolitan Theater.
That's Patriot's Day. And that reminds me that, of course, Bob and I will be on the air with our Patriots Day pageant program in full costume for color radio.
Same thing we've been doing for 43 years in all mediums of show business, sideshows, everywhere else.
And this particular show, both Bob and I will do the program on horseback, dressed as William Dawes and Paul Revere tomorrow. And it will be an exciting broadcast from start to finish.
So
you
look for us riding that historic route. We expect to be in Brockton by about 3:25. And then following the original course set by Paul Revere, we'll hit Taunton about 4 o'clock.
And we'll be down there to see all you Minute folks in Taunton.
We may not have our facts right, but we'll check on it.
By airtime tomorrow, we certainly should have everything straightened out in our mind.
This thing will be real neat by that time, so you don't want to miss it. We're looking forward to it.
We still have a few of those smoked glasses for looking at eclipses, so if you'd like a smoked glass to look at an eclipse with, just send your request to Smoked Glass for Looking at Eclipses, care of this station, and we'll get them on out to your post pay. It will come marked in the plain wrapper, simply stating,
Smoked Glass for Looking at Eclipses with.
Ken and Bill again furnished the marvelous musical background for the production. The
costumes were by Doubleware.
Sneakers by Spurdley Brothers. Nice work, boy. So we'll see you all again tomorrow morning from 6:35 to 9. Right if you get work. And hang by your thumbs, everyone. I'm sure you'll agree that it's milder, much milder. Much milder.